Spinoffs. This is Brock.
And this is John.
So the first question is what is a spinoff?
A spinoff is where a corporation distributes a subsidiary stock to its shareholders, either independently or accompanied by a public offering to of additional shares if it needs more capital. Usually, when a company distributes appreciated property to its shareholders, it's got to recognize a gain, and the shareholders pay a tax. But if you distribute 80% or more of a 80% or more owned subsidiary, the transaction can be tax free under Section 355 of the Internal Revenue Code. If you jump through the many many hoops that you have to jump through to do a spinoff.
And what circumstances are best for a spinoff structure?
Sure. There are a number of reasons a company may do it. There may be a desire to rationalize the business structure, allow management to focus on the company's core business. There may be a concern that the value of the business to be spun off is not fully recognized because it's embedded in the parent company and it may lack visibility to investors and analysts. And by the way, that's not just a we could do better here. It's that you can be vulnerable to a takeover on that basis. I know there was a time when General Motors had used satellite assets in it, and there were folks in the early 2000s, late 1990s, when telecommunications was going nuts, that were saying that embedded with GM in GM was a business that was worth more than GM. At the time, so that can be make you attractive to somebody who thinks they can get an asset on the cheap based on going after you on your stock price. So there are some positive benefits to that too. You may be able to get improve your access to capital for that spun business. There may be some regulatory constraints that are binding it up with what you're doing. You may improve the competitive position. Because you can use that subsidiary stock to retain key employees. There may also just be a reduction in administrative costs. So there are a lot of good business reasons that people do spinoffs. And in fact, in order to do one and get the appropriate tax treatment, you have to be able to establish that you're doing it for a good business purpose. Now, ironically, the real business purpose behind all of these spinoffs is to enhance shareholder value, that is not going to fly with the IRS. That they view that as a shareholder purpose, not a corporate purpose. But, of course, things like that are bound up in that, like improved access to the capital markets, et cetera, those are corporate purposes. So those aren't necessarily contradictory, but it's not enough to say it enhances shareholder value.
And in terms of the SEC, what types of filings are made with that agency for a spinoff?
Well, if a spinoff has a valid business purpose, and if you make it through a pro rata distribution, and the company that's going to be spun off provides adequate information to shareholders, then the SEC says you don't have to do a 33 Act registration statement for the securities that you're going to issue in that deal. But there's still an awful lot that the company is going to have to do. The spinoff company is going to need to register its securities under Section 12 of the 34 Act, and it's going to file a Form 10 to do that, very lengthy disclosure document. And then in order to satisfy the SEC's information requirements, it's going to also have to provide an information statement that complies with the proxy rules, with Regulation 14A. Then, of course, the parent would also need to file an appropriate 8K to reflect the deal. If the deal doesn't satisfy the SEC's conditions, then you've got to register it. Transaction would need to be registered on an S-4 with the parent company being identified in the S-4 as a selling shareholder, which would not be an odd-looking registration statement. Then if there's a financing, there might be an S-1 filing. So there are an awful lot of there's an awful lot of paperwork and hoops to jump through with the SEC as well if you're doing a transaction like this.
So these deals sound complicated. Are they more complicated than other deals?
they are insanely complicated. In addition to jumping through elaborate tax hoops and dealing with the SEC, as I mentioned here, you've got to unscramble a whole bunch of corporate eggs in order to get to this point. It's unusual to find a business that's been incorporated into a larger company's operations for an extended period of time that you can just sort of cut away. Assets tend to be jumbled up in corporate structures. Something that may be essential for this company's business may be located in dozens of other places within the company. And that's often particularly true for IP assets. The spun-off company may have a whole bunch of assets in its corporate structure that make no sense whatsoever and don't really belong to its business, and those have to be moved appropriately, and there are tax considerations that come into play there as well. You also may have no infrastructure. The company's financial reporting function, for example, might be virtually non-existent and completely dependent on the parent. All sorts of employment issues, which employees are coming with the business, which are going to stay at the parent company, how do you handle the rights that people have under parent company benefit plans, and what kind of benefit plans is the new co going to put into place, who's going to be your management team, who's your directors, what do your financing needs look like, then you've got to look at if you're moving assets around, are there any fraudulent transfer issues? The list just goes on and on and on, and every decision you make has tax implications as well, and some of which can even result in the loss of favorable tax treatment. So these are about the most complicated thing that you can do as a company.
So what are the alternatives that companies might want to consider?
There are a number of them. There are a number of ways that companies separate in addition to spin-off. One of them is simply an equity carve-out, which is basically an initial public offering of the subsidiary. And you can structure that either as a primary offering or as a secondary offering of the subsidiary stock. And you're doing the same type of thing that you're doing with a spinoff. You're moving everything to a separate balance sheet, and you're creating a separate infrastructure for the company, et cetera. You typically carve out less than 20% of the subsidiary in order so you can retain control. So that preserves the ability for you to do a second step transaction later on if you want a tax-free spinoff at a later date. A lot of times what you'll see is another alternative after you do an equity carve out is what's called a split off, in which the shareholders are given the opportunity to tender parent shares in exchange for the shares in the subsidiary. This is viewed as a sale for accounting purposes, so you recognize gain or loss at the parent level, but it's tax-free if it meets the requirements that are set forth in the Internal Revenue Code. And these often follow equity carve-outs, and the equity carve-out actually is designed to sort of set the price, if you will, set the market price for these things. Another that you will occasionally see from time to time, and this was something that you saw in the early 2000s, and there's still a few out there. People talk about it every now and again, but tracking stocks. And this involves issuing basically a second class of common stock, the value of which is supposed to be tied to the earnings of a particular division. And you can distribute these as a dividend. You can do an IPO. But there's no real separation with tracking stocks. They're sort of easy, but the question is, do people buy into them? I mean, the board retains control. The assets are not transferred. Theoretically, they're supposed to enable the investor to track the performance of the particular division, but there are all sorts of conflicts of interest here, since you've got one board for the entire company, and you have a carved out interest in that company or in a division of that company that belongs to somebody else. And these things have attracted litigation when they've been used. So there are even more complicated versions of these things, reverse Morris trust transactions, where you essentially have a spinoff or a split off followed by an acquisition by a third party company. I actually worked on one of those. It's the largest transaction I ever worked on. It was about a $3.5 billion deal, and it was just think of buying a company twice. It was just an unbelievably complex transaction. So there are a bunch of alternatives, but it's never easy when you're splitting up a corporation into multiple parts.
Great, thanks.
You're welcome.